Copyright 2011, JKP, Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved.
Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he introduces the philosophy of the Bhagavatam and explains how the Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads and is beyond the philosophy of the Gita.
Welcome everyone to this series on the Bhagavatam. We can close our eyes for the Vandana. Varvatiram natvarvatu karnayo karnikaram. Vasa tanak kapisham vaijayanti chamanam
Kamal Paa.
ब्रह्मारं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रणोति तस्मै पद्मं देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशम् मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहम् प्रपद्ये. प्रेम रस उपासु जन. We'll start with a few minutes of Harinam Sankirtan, and after that we'll begin with the Bhagavad discourse. Bhajo Singo Bhajo Giri Thare Thank you. Those of you who have participated in the Gita classes before, the format will be a little bit different in this class because the Bhagavatam, I can't really teach it in the form of a class, switching back and forth. The Bhagavatam is about more than just the knowledge. The Bhagavatam has to be experienced. So for that reason, I'm going to be staying here with the adults the whole time and giving a speech on the Bhagavatam, as well as sharing some Krishna Leelas with you and singing those Leelas. And there is a separate class going on for the youth, the Bhagavatam class, which I have developed, which one of our other devotees is going to teach to the kids. So the kids have a choice. They don't have to be in the kids' class. They can go back and forth, but if you have kids here, they're welcome to come and sit in the main satsang here. It's up to them, whichever. They'll be more challenged here by the material, definitely, but they may rather, you know, learn it in the form of a class with worksheets and get to play Jeopardy and those kind of things. So you can let your kids know that they have a choice. And why don't we, everybody in that area, move up a little bit because more people will be coming in after you. I wanted to do a series on the Bhagavatam for a long time, but it's a very daunting thing to undertake. Gita, you know, 700 shlokas, and very concise, and give the gist of a chapter of the Gita in a short speech. But the Bhagavatam is 18,000 shlokas long, and the material of the Bhagavatam is beyond the Gita, and that is daunting as well. Understanding the basic philosophy of the Gita is one thing, really getting the Bhagavatam is another thing. So in this 1 week class, 1 week pravachan, I'm going to try to give you an introduction to the Bhagavatam. Everything I'm going to share with you is whatever I've been able to learn from Kripaluji Maharaj and whatever I've been able to experience through his grace. So I'm not giving you the Bhagavatam, definitely not. To get the Bhagavatam, you'll have to go to someone like Shukdevji Paramahans. And to be qualified to receive what he could give you, you'd have to be someone like Parikshit Maharaj. So, you may be qualified or in the same class as Parikshit, but I'm definitely not in the same class as Shukadeva Paramahans. Nonetheless, I have been able, whatever I've been able to learn about the Bhagavatam, I'm going to share with you as an introduction to the Bhagavatam this week. And some of what I'm going to be focusing on, since we've had 3 weeks of Gita classes in the past year, we covered each chapter of the Gita, I'm going to be explaining to you why the Bhagavatam is beyond the Gita. So, first of all, what is the Bhagavatam and why is it so important? In fact, Bhagavatam is said to be the Shiromani of all of our Sanskrit scriptures, the crown jewel. We have Vedas, we have Gita, we have Mahabharata, we have Ramayana, we have Darshan Shastras, including the Brahma Sutra, Vedanta, we have Upanishads. We have all of these scriptures, and out of all of them, and all the 18 Puranas, Bhagavatam is said to be the supreme scripture. So, what is Bhagavatam? Why is it so important? In India, and only in India, in Bharat, we have three kinds of scriptures related to God. Treta Granth, Smrita Granth, and Vinirgat Granth. These are the three types of scriptures which are available in the world related to God, and only in India do we have all three types available. Treta Granth, Smrita Granth, and Vinirgat Granth. So, Krit Granth means, a scripture. Krit means composed by someone out of their own mind, out of someone's material mind. So it means it's about God who is divine, but the person writing has a material mind, not a divine mind. So he's writing about something which is beyond his experience. Therefore, Krit Granth is Amanya. It's Anitya, meaning it's not eternal. Someone just produced it. An author wrote it. A scholar wrote it. But they're not God-realized. They have no direct experience of God. So out of their material intellect, whatever they write, how can it be correct? So it's Amanya. Means it's not acceptable as a means of proving anything or learning anything about God or the divine field. So Krit Granth, there are hundreds and thousands and probably even millions available in the world today. Krit Granth about God. Every week some author is coming out with a new spin on the Gita, for instance. So these are all Krit Granth. This is just someone trying to interpret the Gita through his own material intellect. This creates a lot of confusion in the world. But this is one type of granth we have. The second kind is Smrit Granth. This is that scripture which is produced by someone who has experienced God. A Shrotriya Brahmanisht Mahapurush. A God-realized saint who writes, having experienced God, he writes about God. So now he's writing at the level of his experience. The one writing the Krit Granth is an ordinary person like us. And he's writing about something beyond, because God is divine and he's material. But the saint, with his divine mind, has a direct experience of God, and having experienced him, he writes. So these Smrit Granth are also, they are actually Nitya. And they are manya. Means they are acceptable proof. The statements in those Smrit Granth are acceptable evidence or proof about God's existence, how God is, his characteristics, the path to God. And they are nitya, which means they are eternally existing. Some examples are the Puranas. These are Smrit Granth. For instance, before writing Bhagavatam, Vedavyas did bhakti. Apashyat purukham purvam mayancha yadapashrayam Bhagavatam. First he did bhakti to Krishna, he got the divine vision of Krishna, he also got the vision of his maya, and having experienced all of that, then he wrote Bhagavatam. So it's a Smrit Granth. Also, we have Darshan Shastras that come in this category. We have Smritis which come in this category. In fact, all our scriptures except for Ved are Smrit Granth. So none of our scriptures are Krit Granth. Only the nowadays, whatever ordinary people are writing or trying to interpret, those are Krit Granth. But all of our scriptures in Hinduism, other than Ved, comes in the category of Smrit Granth. Means these are eternal scriptures, but the saints write them in their own words. So Puranas exist eternally, but every time they're reproduced, there could be some difference, something updated to be relevant to that particular time. For instance, there's talking about what kings are going to be coming in Kali Yuga. So obviously that's not going to be the same every time Puranas are reproduced. So Puranas, the wordings of the Puranas change, the knowledge doesn't change. And the basic events, the avatar of Bhagwan, the eternal saints who descend on the earth planet, the process of Srishti, all these main topics of Puranas don't change. But the wording, the exact wording can change between reproductions. Between reproductions means Vedavyas reproduced the Puranas 5,000 years ago. But they existed before that. He keeps coming at the end of every Dwapara Yuga and reproducing all the scriptures. And in between, if any scripture which is really necessary gets lost or we don't have any copies of it, any saint can actually reproduce it. A saint who's experienced God can reproduce even a Purana. So these Puranas are eternal, but they're called Smrit Granth because the saint experiences and then he writes it in his words. So this is also, this is manya, this is acceptable. The third kind is Vinirgat Granth. This is only Ved. Vinirgat Granth was never made by anyone. It's nitya, it's eternal, it's manya, it's acceptable as proof of God's existence and the path to God and all of those topics. But it was never, it's never written in somebody's words. Nothing in Ved ever changes. As it was millions of years ago, same it is today. During Pralaya, it stays within God, you can say, in his antakaran, inside of him. And then Ved says, Nishvasitamasya Veda. God just produces them or manifests them on the outwardly. He breathes and out come the Vedas. Ja ki sahaj shwas shruti chari. Tulsidas ji writes in the words of Bhagwan Shiv ji that the Vedas are produced by the breath of God. So they eternally exist within him. When it's time to make them available on the earth planet, he produces them or manifests them outwardly. But he didn't make them. For this reason, Veda is called Apaurusheya. Purush means Krishna. Doesn't just mean a man. Purush means Supreme God. Apaurusheya, not made by Krishna. It's there inside of him and he just manifests it outwardly. But because it came out of him, Veda is also called Paurusheya. It came out of God, so it's Paurusheya, but it's Apaurusheya because he didn't create it. As it always has been, the same it will always remain. So when Krishna gives Veda to Brahma, he actually just manifests Veda through Brahma. Brahma is not making up Veda or putting it in his own words. It's just coming, it comes out. So this is Vinirgat Granth. One might wonder, when we have Vinirgat Granth, when we have something as great as Vedas, which are eternal and unchanged since eternity, then what is the need for even Smrit Granth? Why do we need those other scriptures? Everything they're saying also, whatever's in the Smrit Granth, meaning in Puranas, in Smritis, in Gita, in Mahabharata, these are all Smrit Granth. They're all based on Vedas. They're further explaining or expounding or elucidating what has been stated in Vedas. So why do we even need them? Because no one can understand Vedas on their own without some kind of help. Even Brahma couldn't understand Vedas. It's coming out of his mouth. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Atsuraya Bhagavatam. Bhagavat says, Brahma had no idea what the meaning of Veda was. It's coming out of his mouth. Krishna's sitting inside his heart, making Veda come out of him, and he has no idea what is the meaning of what he's saying. That's Brahma. Anantaparam gambhiram durvigahyam samudravat bhagavatam. The meaning of Vedas is anantaparam gambhiram. It's agamya. The meaning of Vedas is like a samudra. It's an endless ocean. The arth, the real meaning. So even Brahma could not understand the meaning of Vedas. Then how are we going to understand without some help? Why couldn't Brahma understand? He has a divine mind. Vedo Narayana Sakchat. Bhagavatam says, Ved is Sakchat Narayana, Sakchat Bhagwan. So just like Bhagwan is Buddhi Se Pare, Ved is Buddhi Se Pare. God is beyond intellect. So Ved is equal to God. Whatever is Krishna, Veda is equal to Krishna. You can't say one is more, one is less. Veda is a part of Krishna. So Krishna is beyond intellect, so Veda is also beyond intellect. Brahma says about him trying to know Krishna. Naham nayuyam yadritam gatim vidur navam deva. Kinta pare sura tanmayaya mohita buddhayas vidam vinirmitam chatma samam prachakshmahe. He says, Brahma is saying, this is a quotation from Bhagavatam, I cannot know Krishna from my intellect. He says, Naradji, he's actually talking to Narad. He says, Narad, you cannot know Krishna from your intellect. He says, even God Shiva cannot know Krishna from his intellect. We can go to the edge of what our intellect knows, but Krishna is still beyond that. God Shiva himself says in the Bhagavatam, Naham virincho nakumar naradau na brahma putra munayas turesha. He says, Naham, I can't know Krishna. Na virinchah, Brahma can't know Krishna. Nakumar, the four sanakadik, Sanat, Sanandan, Sanak, Sanat Kumar, these four eternal jnani saints who are avatar of Bhagwan, the first of the 22 avatar described in Bhagavatam is Sanakadik Paramahans, four eternal jnani saints. They cannot know Krishna. Narad cannot know Krishna. In other words, no one can know Krishna. Unless Athapite deva padam bujadvaya prasad desha nudrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya eko pichiram vichimvan. Bhagavatam. Brahma says, if Krishna graces you, then you can know him. So even those with a divine mind cannot know Krishna unless they receive his grace. So nobody can know Krishna, therefore nobody can know Ved. Krishna had to, sitting in Brahma's heart, he made him understand the meaning of Ved. Initially, as Ved came out of Brahma, Brahma was completely mystified. What is this? I have no idea what it means. Then Krishna graced him and he understood. Bhagavatam says, Parokchavado vedo yam balana manushasanam. The Vedavani, the language or the words of Vedas, are parokchavado. Paroksh means the shabdart is one thing and the bhavart is something completely different. Shabdart means the literal meaning of the word is one thing, and the bhavart, the actual meaning of what Ved is communicating, is something totally different. For instance, let me give you one example. Brahm, or God in Vedas, has many synonymous words just used like that, thrown in there. Like sometimes the word Jeev means Brahm in Vedas. Jeev literally means soul. But sometimes Ved uses the word Jeev and is talking about Brahm, God. Sometimes it uses the word Sat, and it means Brahm. Sometimes Ved uses the word Asat, and it means Brahm. Sometimes Ved uses the word Akash. Akash meaning space, the sky. And it means God. Sometimes Ved uses the word Pran. Pran meaning the life force. That's something else. That's a material thing. Literal meaning, yet that word is indicating Brahm, God. So even a great scholar, he can study his whole life and learn Vedic grammar and Nirukta and all, everything you think you need to understand Vedas. No one, when Brahma couldn't understand Vedas, then who else? Doesn't matter how great a scholar he is. See, in Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Uddhav ji asks a very important question to Krishna.
Vadanti Krishna Shreyansi Bahuni Brahma Vadina Tesham Vikalpa Pradhanya Mutaho Eka Mukhyata.
Krishna, please tell me, why are there so many paths in existence? Everybody's telling something different. And tell me, out of all of those, which one is right? There must be one sure path. Which is that? So Krishna started by explaining that although I only told one path,
Kalena Nashta Pralaye Varniyam Veda Sanghita Adau Brahmane Prokta Dharmo Yasyam Madatmaka.
Krishna answered that when I gave Vedas to Brahma in the beginning, because Ved disappears from the earth planet during Pralaya, so I have to reintroduce it. So I give Vedas to Brahma. So in that Ved, I only told one dharma. Dharmo yasyam madatmaka. How can a soul get to me? That's all I told in Vedas. Although, if someone reads Ved, there are different, many different things described. But they're all only to get a soul to Krishna. So they all are meant to culminate in bhakti. So Krishna says, I only told bhakti and I only told how to get to me.
Sarve Vedayat Padamam Ananti.
Ved says, every single mantra of the whole Vedas is all pointing in one direction, just how to get you to Krishna.
Vasudeva para Veda.
Bhagavatam says, Vedas are only to get you to Vasudeva Krishna. So Krishna says, Uddhav, I only told one thing in Vedas. A soul has to get to me, and to come to me he has to do bhakti. That's it. But
yatha prakriti sarvesham chitra vacha sravanti.
He says, once Ved becomes available in the world, any unqualified person can also try to give his interpretation of Vedas. So there are three kinds of unqualified people. There are those of tamas buddhi, those of rajas buddhi, and those of sattvic buddhi. So those of tamas buddhi, they interpreted Ved and gave it a tamas arth. Those of rajas buddhi, they interpreted Ved and gave it a rajas arth. And those of sattvic buddhi, they interpreted Ved and gave it a sattvic arth. And all three were wrong, because you need a divine buddhi and you need Krishna's grace to be able to give the correct arth of Vedas. So these people interpreted Ved, and then each interpreted it in his own way, according to his own liking. Krishna says, yatha karma, yatha ruchi, according to each individual's sanskar, according to his likes and dislikes, he interpreted Ved however he wanted. And a lot of these things became traditions. These unqualified scholars, unqualified teachers, made their own interpretation of Ved. People followed them, and it became a tradition, it became a parampara. So Krishna says, in this way, uncountable paths were created in the world when originally I only introduced one thing in Ved.
Dharma meke yashaschanye kamam satyam damam shamam anye vadanti swartham va aishwaryam tyaga bhojanam kechidyagyatapotanam vratani niyamanyaman.
Krishna names many of these other paths which got propagated in the world,
in the name of Vedas. Even though Ved is only for getting you to Krishna, but he named all of those paths, all the other paths. And he said, Adyantavanta evaisham loka karma vinirmita dukho darkasta munishtha chudrananda shucharpita. All those other paths are galat. Why? Because they keep you in the field of maya. Their phal is adyantavant. Adi antavala. The result they give is only temporary. Karma dharma takes you to swarga temporarily, you come back. Yoga gives you siddhis, gives you swarupa pratishtha, but keeps you under maya. Gyan eliminates agyan, but still you remain under maya. All the paths give you something, but none of them release you from maya or take you to Krishna. So he said they may take you to swarg, they may give you any result in this world, but it's all temporary, it's all mayak, it's all dukh mishrit, it's all chudra. Whatever anand, whatever happiness you get by following any of these paths, chudra means insignificant and always mixed with unhappiness, because as long as you're under maya, unhappiness is going to be there. So he said, bhaktyahamekaya grahya shraddhayatma priyasatam bhakti punati mannishtha svapakanapi sambhavat. He said, I'm only attainable through bhakti. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. I'm only attainable through bhakti. There's no other way. Nasadhayati mam yogo nagyanam dharma uddhava nasvadhyayastapastyago yatha bhaktir mamorjita. Again, he names many of those other paths. He says, I'm not attainable through yoga, not through jnana, not through sankhya, not through dharma, not through swadhyaya, which means self-study of any scripture, not through tap, not through tyag. I'm not attainable through any of those. I'm only attainable through bhakti. Dharma satya dayo peto vidyava tapasandita. He says, through these other paths, a person's antahkaran cannot even be fully purified. Nasamyak prapunati. Only through bhakti can a person's antahkaran be fully purified. What to say of maya nivritti or bhagavat prapti? Leaving those aside, even antahkaran shuddhi cannot be attained through any other path but bhakti. So, I'm telling you this to explain this point, that even though we have Vedas, we also have a lot of confusion because so many unqualified people have tried to interpret Vedas over the years. When even Brahma needed Krishna's grace to understand the correct artha of Vedas. Thus, we need something more to get the real understanding of what is in Vedas. Thus, we turn to the Smriti Granth. Those Smriti Granth are to help us understand Vedas. Take Puranas. The meaning of the word Puran is Purayati iti Puranam. Jo Ved ka arth pura kare, wo Puran. Puran completes the meaning or makes you understand the meaning of Vedas. That's the actual meaning of the word Puran. This is why Puran was in fact given to Brahma before Vedas. Prathamam sarvashastranam puranam brahmana smritam anantaram cha vakrebhyo vedastasya vinirgatah. Vinirgatah, that vinirgat granth Ved came after. Prathamam puranam brahmana smritam. So Krishna sitting in Brahma's heart, he unhone Puran ka smaran karaya. Again, Brahma didn't do it. Krishna just gave him the knowledge of Puranas in his divine mind. After that, he gave him the knowledge of Vedas. So Ved cannot be understood without the help of the Puranas. So Puran is also eternal, and it's there to give us the possibility, the way to understand Ved. In fact, Puran is said to be the fifth Ved. Itihas Purana Itihas Purananca Panchamo Veda Uchyate Bhagavatam. The Pancham Ved, the fifth Ved, is Itihas and Puran, meaning Mahabharata and the Puranas, are the fifth Ved. Ved also says, Rigvedo Yajurvedah Samvedo Tharvangirath Itihas Puranam. You have Rigved, you have Yajurved, you have Samved, you have Atharvaved, and then you have as the fifth Ved, Itihas and Puran. So Puran is also eternal, and actually in the beginning when Krishna gave Brahma the knowledge of Puranas, he did smaran of the Puranas. It was one Puran which was composed of 100 crore shlok, meaning ek arab shlok, meaning 1 billion shlokas. But Vedavyasji, when he reproduced that for Kaliyug, he condensed all that knowledge of 1 billion shlokas into 400,000 shlokas and gave it the regular shape of 18 separate Puranas, so it's easier for studying. Instead of one Puran with 1 billion shlokas, we have 18 Puranas, and between them they have a total of 400,000 verses. 4 lakh. So that Puran is used to help us understand Ved. But actually Veda Vyasji says in Bhagavatam that here in this Bhagavatam, which is the Mahapuran, the king of all the Puranas is Bhagavatam. So if you understand Bhagavatam, Veda Vyas says you don't even need to go and understand Vedas, because Sarvopanishadam Sarat Jata Bhagavati Katha Bhagavatam. Veda Vyasji says, I put the sar of all the Vedas and Upanishads in the Bhagavatam. The essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads is already there in the Bhagavatam. So you don't need to go and try to understand Vedas. Understand Bhagavatam and you can attain your goal just through that. He also says, Arthoyam Brahma Sutranam Sarvopanishadamapi Bhagavat. The arth, the explanation of Brahma Sutra, is also Bhagavatam, and the essence of all the Upanishads is in Bhagavatam. This Vedanta Sutra, this Brahma Sutra, written also by Vedavyasji, it's one of the 6 Darshan Shastras. These 6 Darshan Shastras are all written in sutra form, so they're also very difficult to understand. They're codified sentences. So the 6 Darshan Shastras, Purva Mimansa, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, and the Brahma Sutra, These are also an explanation of the Ved. Veda Vyasji himself wrote Brahma Sutra. Now, after that, in the last 5,000 years, we've had 4 Jagat Gurus who wrote their big, huge bhashyas, explanations of Veda Vyasji's little, thin Brahma Sutra. They wrote big Sanskrit volumes explaining what does Brahma Sutra mean. So Shankaracharya first wrote his Advaitvad Bhashya, explaining Brahma Sutra. Then Nimbarkacharya wrote his Dvaitadvaitvad, explaining the same thing in a different way. Ramanujacharya, Jagat Guru Ramanujacharya, wrote his Vishishtadvaitvad, explaining that same thing. Madhvacharya wrote his Dvaitvad, explaining the same thing. Vallabhacharya was not officially made Jagat Guru, but he also wrote the same on the same topics of the other Jagat Gurus. He wrote his Vishuddhadvaitvad, explaining the very same thing. So people spend their whole life learning Sanskrit, then trying to study one of these bhashyas, explaining about Brahma Sutra. Someone can't even study all of those bhashyas in one lifetime. It's not possible. Veda Vyasji says, forget that. I'm the one who wrote Brahma Sutra, and I'm telling you, I explained what does Brahma Sutra mean in the Bhagavatam. So read and understand Bhagavatam, and you will understand the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. So meaning of Ved, Upanishads and Brahma Sutra is already in the Bhagavatam. So Veda Vyasji says, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Drati Vachit. He says, the sar of all the Vedas, Upanishads and Brahma Sutra is already in Bhagavatam, so what's the need to go to any other scripture? Veda Vyasji is saying, in Bhagavatam. And Veda Vyasji even goes to the extent of saying, even if you could study Vedas, learn Sanskrit, get to that level where you could go and learn and study and understand Vedas on your own, he says, what's the use? Leela Avatare, he's saying in Bhagavatam, Vibhriyan Nadhira. He says, a buddhiman, a really intellectual person, meaning very wise, a wise person, he won't go into Vedas. Why? Because there's hardly any description of Krishna Leelas, Krishna's Gunas. None of that is there in Vedas. Just a little bit here and there. So he says, that vachan, which is bereft of the description of Sri Krishna's Leelas, buddhiman ni apanata usko. Ved bhi ho. Even if it's Vedas, imagine who's saying, Bhagwan Vedavyas, also one of the 22 dissensions of Bhagwan described in Bhagavatam. The reproducer of the Vedas, the one who reproduced all the Vedas 5,000 years ago, he's saying, a wise person doesn't even go into Ved. He goes a step further. Mrishagirasta hyasati rasakatha nakathyate yat bhagavan dho chaja bhagavatam. He says, that vani, meaning something that's written or said in a scripture, that vani, which is not telling Krishna's leelas, Krishna's gunas, That vani is vyabhicharini, duracharini, asati, meaning unfaithful. That vani is mithya. He goes to the extent of saying it's false. That vani which does not tell Krishna's leelas is mithya. His Vedas are manya. You have to understand from what point of view he's saying. Vedavyas is not putting Vedas down. They have their place. For tattva jnana, to get correct spiritual understanding, Ved is there. But he's saying, that thing I want, that ras, that amrit of Shri Krishna's leelas, that's not there in Vedas. So, if that thing I want is not there, why should I go there? There's a big bazaar, a big market, and you know the thing you're looking for, the amrit, is nowhere to be found in that whole bazaar. Then why should I go? Okay, there's lots of things there for other people who may want those things, so that's fine. Ved is full of all kinds of great knowledge, but Vedavyasji says, it's not for me. I want to hear Krishna Leelas, and that Amrit of Krishna Leelas is only found in Bhagavatam. So, we have Krita Granth, Smriti Granth, Vinirgat Granth. Only Vedas are Vinirgat Granth, but to understand the Vedas, you need the help of the Puranas. Out of all those Puranas, Bhagavatam is supreme. Since we have Bhagavatam though, and Bhagavatam has the essence of all the Puranas, all the Gita, all the Upanishads, all the Vedas, Brahma Sutra, everything is there already. So, let's just make use of Bhagavatam.
Nigamakalpatarorgalitam phalam shukamukhadamritadravasanyutam murao rasika bhuvibhavuka ibat bhagavatam rasamalayam.
This is the third shloka of Bhagavat. Vedavyasji is saying, Bhagavatam is rasam alayam. Alaya means the residing place of. Like we have Himalaya, the residing place of him, snow, ice. So we have ras alayam. The Bhagavatam is the residing place of the ras. What ras? The ras referred to in the Vedas. When they said, raso vai saha, Taittiriya Upanishad says, Bhagwan, Brahm, is ras. Previously, the same Ved says, anando brahmeti vyajana. God is anand. Sat chit anand. He is made of divine, unlimited happiness, bliss. But what is the essence of anand? Ras. Ras means the essence. Prem ras, you can say. The divine love of Krishna. That prem ras is the essence of anand. Like, if you have, let's say we filled this room with rose petals. It's a lot of rose petals. Let's say you extracted the scent, the essence of those rose petals out, all of them. It might make 1 gallon of rose essence, a whole room full of rose petals. So now you got the essence of that. Now let's say you did that many times and you had hundreds of gallons of essence of rose fragrance. And you extracted the essence out of that down to a small vial. Now a single drop of that could perfume this whole mandir or the whole of New Hyde Park. It's so concentrated. So that's the ras, that's the essence. The essence of Anand is prem, prem ras. So raso vaisaha means Krishna is ras, God is ras. So Veda is indicating there's something great, but it's actually beyond the reach of Vedas. Krishna eva paro devas tam dhyayet tam rasayet tam bhajet tam bhajet. Gopal Purva Tapaniya Upanishad says Krishna is ras. Ye yam radha yascha krishno rasabdhir dehe naika kriranartham dvidhabhut. Radhika Upanishad says, whatever is Radha, same as Krishna. They're one and the same. But rasabdhir, to experience the ras and to give that ras to their devotees, dvidhabhut. They became two. Even though they're one, they took two forms. Kridanartham, so they could do leelas. And through those leelas, they could give the ras of their divine love to each other and to their bhakta saints. So that ras is not in the Vedas. That ras is in the Bhagavatam. That's why in the second shloka of Bhagavatam, Veda Vyasji says, dharma prodhita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam shrimadbhagavate mahamunikrite kimba parairishvaram sadyo hridya varudhyate prakritibhi Shushru Shubhistachanat. He says, Kimva, why would you want to go in any other scripture? He says, what I have put in Bhagavatam is Dharma Prodhit Kaitava. It's Kaitava Rahit Dharma. We'll get into this in much more detail. This is a very important statement of the Bhagavatam. We'll cover this throughout the week. But he's saying, Kaitavya means a deception. So the dharma that I'm teaching in Bhagavatam is Bhagavat dharma. It's the supreme dharma that doesn't leave you halfway. One of Shankaracharya's followers, Sridharacharya, wrote a famous tika on the Bhagavatam. And in that he explained that the Kaitav that Bhagavan Vedavyasji is referring to are four. Dharma, Arth, Kam, Moksha. He says these are four deceptions. Because if you think Dharma, Arth, or Kam is the aim of your life, that keeps you within Maya. And Moksha takes you to God, but you merge into formless God and you never get the Ras. You never get the Prem Ras. So these are four Kaitav. So Bhagavan Vedavyasji is saying the dharma I'm teaching in the Bhagavatam takes you beyond those four Kaitava. Sadyo hridya varudhyate prakritibhi shushru shubhistachanat. The moment someone conceives the bliss of the Bhagavatam in their mind, Krishna comes and resides in their heart, and actually you can say, you've trapped him there. That's the special thing about the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam teaches you how to get Krishna, make him your own. Not just attain him, not just merge into him, but make him your own. That's the secret of the Bhagavatam. That's far beyond Gita. Gita ends with moksha. Mokchaishyami maashucha. Bas, ho gaya. That's the end of Gita. Krishna says, I'll give you moksha, Arjuna. Just surrender to me and I'll give you liberation. Bhagavatam starts by saying, we're going beyond liberation. So where Gita ends, actually, Bhagavatam begins. And Vedavyasji says, now that you've come to the Bhagavatam and you're desiring the bliss of Krishna's divine love, well, that ras is here in the Bhagavatam. So now that you've got this, why do you want to go anywhere else? Vedavyasji is saying, the author of Gita is saying, why do you want to go in Gita? Why do you want to go in Vedas? Why do you want to go in Brahma Sutra? Leave all of that and pibatta bhagavatam. Drink the Bhagavatam. Drink the ras of the Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam. What is Bhagavatam? Phal. Phal of Nigam. Nigam means Ved and Upanishads. So if you think of the Ved as the kalpa vriksh, it can give you anything. All the ways of attaining everything are there in Ved. You want narak? Okay, do these wrong actions. You want swarg? Okay, follow this dharma. You want moksh? Okay, do this. Everything is in Ved. But just like if you go to a mango tree, the same thing is there in the mango tree that's found in the fruit. But if you chew on a mango leaf, you don't get the sweetness of the mango. The fruit is the real thing. That's what you want. So the fruit of the kalpa vriksh of the Vedas is Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam. Galitam, the ripe fruit, not just an unripe mango, the ripe fruit of the Vedas is Bhagavatam. Shukamukha damritra drava sanyutam. Drava means Shukadevaji made it even better. We're only going to touch on this week, but Shukadevaji secretly added Radha to the Bhagavatam without changing any of the words because he always has Radha in his heart. So Shukamukha damrita drava sanyutam, the amrit of the Bhagavatam, the nectar. Just like you have the fruit, right? Like you have a mango, you have the chilka, you have the skin, you're not going to eat that. You also have the pit, you're not going to eat that. So even in a fruit, there's something you want to discard. So Shukdevji, just like you took only the fruity part and made ras out of it, that's what Bhagavatam is. So pibatta bhagavatam. Vedavyasji says, just drink the bliss of the Bhagavatam, forgetting everything else. So what is that bliss of the Bhagavatam? See, the Bhagavatam has 12 skandha, 12 major sections called cantos. The 10th canto tells about Krishna, all of his leelas, from his appearance to his disappearance, is all in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So that's the heart of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. The rest is like, you can say, let's say you have a diamond ring. You have a nice box, you know, when you open that box and show the diamond ring. So you don't just keep the ring lying around, right? So the main thing in the Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, telling all about Krishna's leelas. But to give a proper introduction to those leelas and have it, you know, virajman, like it has to be properly presented. So the whole first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam are telling everything. All the other dissensions of God, history of the Brahman, everything leading up to Krishna's appearance. So to give a proper introduction, just like you don't just start by telling Krishna leelas. So you keep the ring in a nice box, and that box in a safety deposit box, and everything is, you know, kept nicely. So the real thing in Bhagavatam is the Krishna leelas. So this week, at the end of each of my pravachan, I'm going to share some Krishna leelas with you. And saints over the last 5,000 years, based on what Vedavyasji wrote in Bhagavatam, because he couldn't write everything, all of Krishna's leelas. Krishna's leelas are uncountable. couldn't write all of them. He wrote the main ones in Bhagavatam. So saints over the last 5,000 years, they have described those leelas of Bhagavatam, sometimes in more detail, much more detail. Sometimes some of those leelas that Vedavyasji left out, they describe those leelas. Sometimes they may even describe Krishna leelas from a previous dissension, not from the most recent one, 5,000 years ago. So those leelas of Surdasji, of Haridasji, those great saints who wrote those leelas, they were actually, that's also, you can say, Bhagavatam. That Rasik Varni is the same ras of the Bhagavatam they're giving in their leela writings, because they're God-realized saints. So, Kripaluji Maharaj, the fifth original Jagat Guru in the last 5,000 years, he has written thousands of such leelas, and he's put them in the form of songs. So out of those, I'm going to choose a few that we'll be singing this week, so that we can also, aside from understanding the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, we can try to drink some of that ras of the Bhagavatam. These leelas are in very simple language, and very simple to understand the words of the leelas, but to really experience the bliss of those leelas is something totally different. If a God-realized saint reads one of these leelas that we're going to be singing, he will not only see the leela happening in front of him, not like on a TV screen, actually, sakshat leela happening in front of him, he will experience the unlimited bliss of the prema ras Krishna's giving through that leela. That's what's in here. That's what's in Bhagavatam. That's what's in these leelas we're going to be singing this week. But we're not at that class where we can experience the full bliss of these leelas. But to whatever extent our heart is open to receive that, to whatever extent we've progressed on the devotional path and purified our heart, to that extent we can get some amount of the ras that's in these leelas, and we can experience something. And through that, we're actually experiencing Bhagavatam. We're experiencing the bliss of the Bhagavatam through these Krishna leelas. That's what Vedavyas put in the Bhagavatam. That's what Shukadeva ji put in the Bhagavatam, is the ras of those Krishna leelas. So that same ras is in these leelas we're going to be singing. And these leelas, the one or two we'll sing today, are leelas of Bal Krishna for today. So the same Krishna who's glorified in the Gita, Supreme Almighty God, same Krishna who's glorified in the Bhagavatam as the Ashray Tattva, the absolute origin of all the forms of God, the Supreme Brahm of this universe. That Supreme Brahm in Braj is acting like a little boy. Unka durdasha hota hai Braj mein. Like I said, you make him your own. Well, these saints, Mother Yashoda, the Gwalbals, the Gopis, these are eternal saints who have made Krishna their own. So now Krishna doesn't get to be Supreme Brahm in front of them. Mother Yashoda treats him as her loving son. The Gwalbals treat him as their best friend. Gopis treat him as their priyatam. So in Braj, Krishna is not treated as Bhagwan, because there's no ras in that. You want him to be Bhagwan? Go to Gita, showing Arjun his Virat Roop. That's Bhagwan. You want Bhagwan? Even Arjun didn't want Bhagwan. He said, Prasid Devesha Jagannivasa. Krishna, please return to your normal form as my loving friend. I don't want to see you in this almighty form anymore. So Krishna conceals his almightiness in order to give the sweet bliss of these loving leelas. So we'll sing one of them. We'll see if we have time to sing a second. Thank you.
घर चोरी कर
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Vatsalya Bhav Leelas, meaning the love between mother and child. So we'll talk about these different bhav, which are introduced through the Leelas of the Bhagavatam, which are different ways for a soul to relate to God, different ways for souls to love God. Dasya Bhav, Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav. So these are Madhurya Bhav Leelas.
Thank you. Yeah.
6 days left in this Bhagavatam series, which I'm sure as you can tell from today is going to be way too short. That's why I called this series Introduction to the Bhagavatam. But we'll do what we can. We'll drink what rasa of Bhagavatam we can, and we'll learn what Bhagavat philosophy we can during that time. Tomorrow I'm going to pick up where we left off today, and I'm going to answer this question, that if Sri Krishna gave Bhagavatam to Brahma in the beginning, how did it end up coming to Vedavyas, and then to Shukadeva, and then to Parikshit, and to us, how did that happen? And we'll also go deeper into the philosophy of the Bhagavatam and understand more about why Bhagavatam is beyond the Gita. For the final 6 days, the timings are going to be 7 p.m. meeting at 7 and going until 8:30, and followed by dinner. We also have prasad dinner served today, and we'll have dinner served every day after the satsang. But the timings for the remaining days are 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And as far as the kits go, we just like we did in the Gita class, there will be an exam on the last day, and there will be prizes for high score, and there will also be a special recognition for those who had perfect